I hate zombie takeout. This podcast is even older than me.
Hello, and welcome to episode 336 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm John.
Hello, I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got a voicemail from Bodo about this week's movie.
Hey, wake up. Oh, sorry. I fell asleep watching House 4 for the 20th time. Oh, I guess this would have been okay if it was prequel to Toxie. Speaking of movie franchises with four movies, that's a hell of a lot better than this. Wishmaster, Pumpkinhead, Prom Night, Multi-Headed Shark 2, 3, 5, and 6. For some reason, they're missing 4. Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, that would have been a hell of a lot better. Why did you torture us? I mean, they strike back and eat France eventually, but still, it would have been better. The only good thing about it was Commander Krill having his own private little war. I know, obscure Star Trek reference. Anyway, you guys are the best. Oh, half a braid. Peace out.
Thank you, Bodo.
Oh, boy, yes. Wow. It's another one of those. We could just go home.
Oh, yeah. Fortunately, it's the last of the House movies. You stumped us both with a Star Trek reference, which is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, the Krill were the aliens in the Orville.
Okay.
I think... And then, of course, there's the bad Jedi in
Commander
Clone
Krell.
Wars.
In Clone Wars.
Commander
Legend.
Krell.
Yeah.
Commander Krill, though. Huh.
Oddly enough, the text-to-speech on the message, which is usually hilariously off, corrected it to Commander Krug, Christopher Lloyd's character from Search for Spock, spelled correctly.
Right. Doctor.
And the reason I tortured you, I can just come clean with this now. So we've had the first three on the list for fucking years.
Yes.
You wanted to do them because you remembered them from when you were a kid. It was one,
yeah.
Two, and three.
I'd only seen the first two and had pretty good memories of the second one.
You were a kid.
Liking with Ratzenberger.
Right. Well, Ratzenberger's part was great. But
yeah.
I liked the first one almost enough to recommend it. I get to the second one.
Same year.
Fucking hated it, except for Ratzenberger's part. And
right.
I pause it during the movie and I'm like, I wonder if I can find four online. Find it on YouTube. And then I get a bit vindictive because I hated two so much. I think, you want to review the fucking House movies? We'll review the fucking House movies. I added four. And I kept insisting on that we do all four. Hence, we did all four to basically punish you for putting them on the list. But to be fair, I got hoisted on my own petard.
I was ready to tap after two easily. I was like, you know, we don't really have to do three. Because it can't get any better than this, actually. I knew we were kind of at the peak of the series, pretty much, with the first two.
Yeah, I just decided, you know, if I wasn't pissed off about how much I hated two, I probably would have gone for that. But, you know, I had to push it and ended up pranking myself because I got to this one.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we get to House 4, I just want to recommend something real quick. It's a BBC show called The Goes Wrong Show. It was also done on the stage in a number of places. It's from a troupe called Mischief Theater. Basic premise of the six episodes on Tubi. It's this theater troupe putting on a play, and literally everything goes wrong.
Oh, is this with Tennant and who else?
He may have been on stage with them. I've seen the first six episodes, and it's just Mischief Theater. Nobody well known there.
Oh, okay. Because I was gonna say there was like a series with Tennant and McKean. I think I can't remember
now. No, this
now.
Isn't that. But after the first episode, during the first episode, I laughed so hard that I felt like I had worked out afterward. So I have to recommend it. Links in the show notes. And aside from just being hilarious in that respect, the physical comedy is practically ballet. Like, it is insane what these people pull off on stage. Like, in one take, there's no edits. It's beautiful. So please check that out. Again, links in the show notes. And finally, on to this week's movie. And, of course, the impromptu plot summary, which is from, I almost forgot to say, from 1992, House 4, The Repossession. It's finally over, and I'm already trying to forget this fucking movie.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, it brings us
there's
to
the... There's a reason why we don't usually do direct-to-video.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, it brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Tropes. String enough of them together, and you just might be able to convince yourself that you have a story.
Or not. also brought to you by... Your pizza man. Hold the face. And the anchovies.
But the face just adds that extra bit of umami.
Alright, so we have our hero from one who is back in a house that doesn't seem like the same house that he had in one.
No, it's not.
With a different wife.
That was his grandmother's house. This is his father's house.
You know, you picked the perfect title for this week, John, mm-hmm. because, I mean, this is not my beautiful house.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not my beautiful wife.
I mean, I was referring to a different Talking Head song, but we'll get to that.
And I think 10 minutes in, all I could think of was, my God, what have I done?
Also, it's a different house, and probably less than a decade later... Yet he has a new wife and a 12-year-old daughter.
Right. This would have worked if it was the boy grown up.
Yeah. Still wouldn't have worked. Just that part of it would have made more sense.
That's true. That's true. There would be consistency. It would not have worked, though. No. So they're at this house that is a different house, but it's the same guy, and but it's a different family. Maybe he's a bigamist. Who knows? That was one thing. That's the only thing I could think of. Like, he had a different wife elsewhere. This is what broke up the marriage. She found this out, and you know, he was kind of on the outs with her at the time. But they reconciled, and now he's back. I'm making up a better movie than they made.
He never actually got back together with the first wife. The wife in the first movie. I praised it for that. So maybe they didn't, and maybe she took custody of the kid and he just moved on with his life. But that doesn't explain the 12-year-old daughter, unless it was her daughter and, you know, he adopted her, whatever.
Instead of going over this dreadful plot summary,
we're trying to justify this movie that has no justification.
We make up a plot for this movie that doesn't exist. Maybe it was, you know, he was her stepfather.
Yeah.
They talk about stepbrothers and stuff. All right, so they're at this house. He has a sentimental attachment to this, even though what he went through in the first one already, he was in that old house. I guess he wanted to stay in this. What are the odds of a guy having, like, two houses with dimension doors in both of them?
And he wanted to stay in this house because his grandfather made a deal with the local Native Americans to keep it in the family and make sure it didn't get taken down because there was some kind of monster sealed in the basement.
Right. So that's the underlying... that is the general plot of the movie, pretty much. Mm-hmm. But what happens, of course, is that they have a mysterious car accident and he dies and I'm going to be like Michael Jackson in the comment sections. The daughter is in a wheelchair.
I'll be going on about that later at length.
Yep, I got the popcorn right here. I don't have anything that makes a... Yeah, there you go. I don't know if it sounded like popcorn and not mixed nuts, but
yeah.
It was theater of the mind, people. So the wife decides, after pulling the plug heartlessly on this pile of ashes that he was in the chair, in the hospital bed. I think probably got a discount on cremation. Am I right? Because the job was kind of half done already. But anyway. She decides, daughter's in a wheelchair, I'm going to move into a house that pretty much looks like an Escher painting.
Yeah. And her wheelchair is something from the 19th century.
The first one. Then yeah. For some reason, there's a second one after that.
Well, it's that's when like, she comes back from the hospital after another accident. But yeah. After the end of the movie, the climax. But yeah, her first chair is from the fucking 19th century.
And the bad guy even has a line, you know, move to a place, you know, with elevators for her. Like, kind of like, yeah, why the fuck would you? But anyway, she feels this connection with her husband there. So she forces the daughter to move there. And the house, in turn, torments her, which is quite puzzling. It's the husband, his spirit. It turns out his spirit is still in the material plane, and he's trying to get her attention to let her know that he was murdered,
right.
And of course, his tormenting her almost drives her out of the house because, well. You know, in fact, there's even something written in the mirror, get out, isn't there, at one point?
There had to be another spirit there that was tormenting him. Her. I don't think it was him until we get his entrance later. They just never explained what it was.
Right. So, the you know, if she goes, the other dude gets at the house and then, you know, breaks the seal or dumps toxic waste on the seal. Whatever the fuck these 1930 gangsters were, you know, trying
they
to
really
be.
Were.
I mean, the way they were like in the car. All right, Muggsy. Okay. One of the henchmen is Paulie from Crime Story, who fucking kills in Crime Story. Oh. Not really an actor, and actually, was actually in the game, but went into the. You know, Michael Mann was doing that sort of thing. That's how he did with Farina too. Mm-hmm. Was a cop, and he cast him. But they almost do drive her out. They torment because the gangsters then start tormenting them, and that almost, of course, gets them out. But then the husband finally comes in, believe it or not,
played by William Catt from the first movie.
Why didn't he just wear the fucking red suit? I mean, that's all we really wanted to see. No one gives a fuck about anything else at this point in his career, honestly. But then he's, you know, he's showing her and you know, telling her, and so his presence convinces her to stay. And then she figures out, of course, that the murderer was, in fact, his foster brother or stepbrother, who's been trying to steal the house for this weird toxic waste crime syndicate thing that. It felt like a fever dream, honestly. Mm. I had no idea what the fuck I was looking at with any of those scenes. And so the spirits finally start tormenting them.
Mm.
And it winds up, of course, with the whole big fire and hilarity ensues. Oh, I forgot the subplot. There's like a maid. People just show up at the house.
Right.
Just like, which kind of fits the series in a way, like everybody's just kind of walks into the house. Nobody locks the house that they're in. But there's a maid who shows up. Nobody hired her. And she's obviously not a maid because she's looking around for shit and you don't know exactly what it is.
Right.
Nor really feel that compelled to figure it out because why would you invest in any of these characters? But hilarity ensued after this movie was done.
House 4 was filmed in November of 1990, but wasn't released until going direct-to-video late January 92. I think that says a lot.
Well, I think they were probably trying to shop it for a theatrical release, and
yeah,
they didn't have a movie here.
No.
They didn't have a movie last time either, though.
And what I forgot to mention about the seal... It actually, from what I recall, wasn't a monster under the seal. It was some Native American, like, paradise. Or, like, healing spring or something.
Yes.
Healing
spring.
Yeah. So within the first 5 minutes, we start getting racist Native American stereotypes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, I was... Where are my notes? I think if I see if they pan the camera in on him and there's a single tear running down his
Yeah,
face,
they came
I'm
real
shutting
close
this
to that in
off.
one scene. I was half expecting it at one point.
I really would have. It would have been the first movie I ever tap out of. But if they did that, I think I would have been done.
I almost
Only if they
tapped,
were
but
joking. If they were joking, I would have taken it. But they were not
yeah.
joking in
No,
this
this was
movie for the
not, there was
most
no
part.
comedy in this thing.
The Pizza Man was a comedy.
Oh yeah, fair. But I would have tapped, but I wanted to see every second of it so I could fucking rip it apart. Cat is phoning it in the first part, like his first couple
Oh my
scenes.
God, yeah.
And then he comes back at the end and he's just weirdly overacting.
Don't understand. Like, did they come decide to pay him more to come back, and that's why, oh, you're gonna pay me how much?
Yeah, exactly. The car accident looked good, I have to admit that. The explosion was hilariously spectacular.
Yeah.
Like way
Or
over
his
the
last
top.
words, mind if I smoke?
But then, of course, the daughter gets, ends up in a wheelchair. And
Do tell us what you felt about that.
well, I have exactly in my notes at that moment, is there going to be a non-ableist reason to put Laurel in a wheelchair, the daughter, in a wheelchair? Nope. She was put in a fucking chair for one scene where she gets pushed down the stairs,
Pretty much.
which was fucking triggering to watch.
They acted like her upper body was paralyzed too, but it wasn't.
No. Well, she
It
went
was very
backwards.
bizarre.
She was kind of out of control when she went over the stairs. She went backwards, but they gave her a disability to abuse her, to abuse a
Yeah.
disabled person in one scene, and to set the bad guys on her because she's disabled. She's a 12-year-old girl. That's enough of a reason for the bad guys to say, "Oh, she's vulnerable. Let's terrorize her." They didn't need to
Right,
add the
so
disability.
that entire thing just did not make any sense. And did the accident even look like something that would cause that kind of injury? I mean,
I don't know how she hit in the car. It landed on its top. The wife was able to get out. Roger would have been able to get out, but his seatbelt got stuck, and they had to bring the daughter. The wife had to save the daughter. Didn't make it back in time. If she didn't have a seatbelt, I could see, her head hitting the top of the roof of the car and possibly damaging her spine in such a way that would
wouldn't it
paralyze her. It's
paralyze her
possible.
from the waist, from the neck down? I
I
mean,
think
I
her
don't
arms
know.
worked, didn't
Like,
they?
exactly, they did. Except they kept like lifting her out of the chair like it was Clockwork
Yeah,
Orange.
yeah.
Because that's like his, there were two experiences he had, the filmmakers had with people's in wheelchairs, I felt. There was Clockwork Orange, and then there was the one movie you're in that wheelchair, Blanche.
Yeah.
That was it.
By the way, in case we have new people, I use a wheelchair, so that's why I'm ranting about this. She was also new to the chair, which could explain why she couldn't do that stuff herself. Bear in mind, I've been in a wheelchair since kindergarten, been disabled since birth, so I have the arms for it.
And it was quite a shitty chair.
Oh yeah, like I said, first she ends up in this 18th century or 19th century chair with the big wheels in the front and like a wicker back. I don't know why the fuck they did that. It made no sense. And then I think it was after the climax of the movie, she comes back to the house. She's in like this shitty hospital chair, which was a bit more reasonable, but it was still like 2 decades old.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the chair I got in the early 80s.
It was obviously a surplus store thing that they picked up
Yeah.
for props
And I'm
or
just. And I'm just gonna hit the other ableist point of the movie. The main villain, the crime boss, was a little person who had a phlegm issue, like a disgusting phlegm issue, a lot of gross out humor. And they just did it to make him disgusting and freaky.
Right.
Again, abusing a disabled person. So yeah, that's enough for me to hate this movie, but there's more. Now, on to the housekeeper. I normally like Denny Dillon. you know, she
yeah,
has
I've
a
seen her in other things. I was trying to remember like what I've
I
seen
think
her in.
our generation would best know her from Dream On.
Right. Well, not many people remember Dream On, but yeah, I do remember that.
I normally like her. I mean, she kind of has her thing that she does all the time. I get a kick out of it. I didn't even like her in this one, which is weird.
Nobody was going to be able to rescue this movie.
The script is so bad that Denny Dillon seems stiff. Love her or hate her, she's never stiff.
You know, Polly from Crime Story, you would think would save. Although they Polly did have probably one of the best scenes in the movie, but that's later on.
Then she goes into the basement to fix something, or to get something. I don't remember. She's got a flashlight. And we can see perfectly well in the basement, even though she's got a flashlight, which, okay,
Right.
that's a reasonable conceit.
Yeah.
Then she drops the flashlight under these boards above the seal, and it just goes fully dark. It just seemed odd. She dropped the flashlight.
Right.
It stayed on, but suddenly the basement goes dark.
That's when she had to fish that out, and then the light blows up. That scares her out.
And okay, the music in this thing. It's rare. I think we've run into this before, but it is very rare that the music upstages the cast. It's just insanely melodramatic.
The weird, you know what, there's also the weird scene. I almost forgot about this if it wasn't my notes, but the scene with her father, like she's a new widow and her father just being like, "What the fuck are you doing?" kind of thing.
And her father was creepy as fuck.
Yeah. That was a scene that we could have lived without. I mean, that was just definitely an unnecessary scene to the story.
Oh, and just a bit of dead meat foreshadowing. At one point, Kelly, the wife, says, "Laurel is perfectly safe and happy here." And I have in my notes, she's going down the stairs the hard way, isn't she?
Of course. Yeah. You knew that was coming. And just like the whole fact that they were in a house with so many stairs, it was just
And how
ridiculous.
the fuck did she get the Terry Trees, who was is not a large person, the actress who
No.
played the wife, how did she get the daughter in the wheelchair up all of those fucking stairs? Okay, you've pulled me up like a few stairs at a time here and there.
Yeah.
That staircase, granted, I was an adult, I weighed a bit more, but still. That would have been impossible to get up a staircase like that. Unless she carried the
Right.
daughter, set her down somewhere, and then brought up the chair every fucking time.
It's never addressed.
No,
It's
no.
never like, I mean, and that's it's the same problem that the last movie that we reviewed with this. They're just things that they throw together because they like the visual, or they're just a certain aspect that they want to do, but nothing actually makes sense. Like both of these movies have this problem. There are things like the turkey for lunch last week, and then this time you get a pizza out of nowhere, and it's like, oh, guess what's in the pizza, kind of, you know?
And a
Like you can see it coming
singing
from a mile away.
pizza guy that cost the movie a half a brain. But I did think when Burke, the brother-in-law, turned heavy, that was nicely done. I didn't see that coming.
Well,
He turned dark, not just
I
nice guy trying to
think
get her out of the house.
that it's the entire problem of this movie is that he Bert is that that's his name,
Burke.
the brother Burke.
Burke.
He should
A
have
fitting name.
been the main character of the movie. Like, you know, he involved the mob in all this and try, you know, having this problem and like, oh, now they want to stay. And the house should have been entirely tormenting him from get go, as soon as he made, you know, made the murder, you know, the house should have been on his case and should have, of course, left the wife and daughter alone.
And it's just, and this is why I doubt your supposition that they were trying to get a theatrical release, because it's just so obviously a paycheck movie in every fucking way for everyone.
Well, it was either that or they just couldn't even find a distributor for the
That's
video
what I'm
because
thinking.
yeah, to go in that way too. But of course, you'd shop it theatrically first and then work a deal for a video if that doesn't work.
I did get a
But,
kick out of
right.
I did get a kick out of Kelly murdering the pizza.
Yes.
She stabs it and then throws it in the garbage disposal and just like goes to town on this pizza trying to kill it. That I enjoyed. Another half a brain deducted for shouting out The Myth of Mental Illness, an old book from the 60s that claims there's no such thing as mental illness.
Wait, they shouted out. Oh,
You very
they—that
clearly
was one
see
of the
her reading it in a
books.
couple of scenes.
That was one of the books she was reading.
That I have serious issues with. Also, from a believability standpoint, Laurel at one point says she hates macaroni and cheese. What kid hates macaroni and cheese?
Very true. I mean, I know some adults that really enjoy it too.
Yeah, I don't get that. Oh, by the way, I knew I recognized the name Terry Trees from somewhere. She was the next door neighbor on the TV version of Alien Nation that the main character was flirting with. If you remember Alien Nation.
And yes, I do. And honestly, she does her damnedest to
Oh, yeah.
sell this movie too. It, I mean,
Because I remember thinking she was pretty good on that show, on Alienation.
I
And
liked
then,
everybody on that show.
yeah, and then she gets to this and she can't even do something with this fucking script.
Yeah, I don't blame any of the cast in this. This is totally. I mean, it's totally the writers. It's not even the directors as much as just the writing is non-existent again.
The dream scene where Burke turned into, where the nurse turned into Burke was fun. I do remember. I did enjoy that briefly.
It was weird, right?
And then they walk into the toxic waste plant, and I'm going to call it a toxic waste plant because it looked like they manufacture toxic waste specifically.
It did, didn't it?
And it almost becomes a completely different movie.
Right. And right, I think if you had this was his movie and he was in this world for most of it, and he, the object was to get the house, you can even still call it house. Because the movie got markedly better when the house started going after the gangsters.
But
And of
when
course, this is like an hour into it, of course.
Roger finally shows up, or his spirit, did we need to
Right.
see his photo twice to get who that it was him? Like they show his photo, you see the supernatural thing happen, then they show his photo again, like we wouldn't have gotten it.
Think they're counting that people probably fell asleep at some point during this.
Okay, that's fair.
And then they like forgot about the first few minutes. Like, oh yeah, that's the greatest American hero guy. That's right, he was in this. I also enjoyed Algernon coming to life.
And early in the
That was
film,
a very House 2 sort of thing.
the daughter wants this lamp. Wants to, they're kind of at,
Yanni wanted the lamp.
yeah. They're in, at the beginning of the movie. They're visiting the house before they move in there, and the daughter wants to take a souvenir of this lamp with the dog in the base, and she ends up obviously back in the house, so she keeps it, or she wants to keep it when they're moving in, I think was the story. And at one
Yeah.
point, it comes to life. Now, when the seal burst, and I think I said this about two as well, or maybe it was last week, it suddenly turned into Ghostbusters.
Right. They like Ghostbusters.
And then, as the house is on fire, and Kelly is, having to drag Laurel out without her chair, Laurel is suddenly miraculously fucking cured.
Get that popcorn.
This is very simple. That is insult to injury. I tapped out. I
Yeah.
bailed on Downton Abbey in the second season because they pulled that shit. You
I
do
mean, at
not
least this has the
miraculously cure a
supernatural
disabled character.
explanation. This at least had the supernatural explanation.
Fair. But still, no, you don't pull that shit. It is damning disabled people. Fuck that.
Yeah.
And then It ends with a nod, what it had to have been a nod to Starman. You remember that, Jim?
Huh.
He just turns into this like circle of light, Roger's spirit in corporeal form at that point in the movie, turns into this like dot of light and zooms away into space.
Because I can't believe I made it, that I was still awake at that point. It was like 1:30 in the morning. You know, we've skipped my favorite scene in the whole movie, actually.
Okay.
The bug shootout.
Oh, yeah. I skipped over the bugs, but yeah.
Because they finally get the Bugs Bunny from the first movie with the two, you know, gangsters.
Right.
Where the house is fucking with them and they see each other as bugs.
It's a bug and a snake, because those are the masks they wore to go terrorize the daughter. So they see each other as an actual giant bug and an actual giant snake, and yeah, they start shooting at each other. And it takes a lot for them to kill each other.
I know. That's what was funny about it, because like they're, you know, half dead. And then like, oh man, it was you. Oh, it was you. And then they see each other again. Yeah. How many times did it go? Did it go only two or did it go three?
No, there were four or five, I think. It was a lot.
Like, it was a few different rounds of them just because, they weren't just firing once at each other. They were firing like multiple rounds at each other. And then they would see each other again and then just start open firing again, completely forgetting what they had just done.
Mm-hmm.
Best scene of the whole goddamn movie. But alas, you're talking about an hour and 35 minute movie.
Yeah. At the end of my notes, I just have SMH. Should it be FML? And well, I'm going to skip the actual last thing in my notes. I'll do that when I get to Brains. No sequels to remakes because thankfully this is the last one.
Yeah. Oof. They let it go further than they should have. Way further.
On to brains. I almost wish I could remember the Billy Madison speech. This thing is down there with Showgirls, Mazes and Monsters, and Batman and Robin as one of the worst movies we've reviewed. After this review goes up, I normally listen to the episodes after they go live. I think after this one goes live, I'm going to skip it and just do everything in my power to forget that I've seen it. It's a zero.
You asked for this.
Yeah, I know. I hoisted on my own petard.
Who knew it was going to be that bad? I'm giving it a brain. I liked Terry Trace. I think she, respectfully did whatever the fuck she could to try to make this into a watchable movie. I liked Polly. I liked that one scene. But yeah, this is a void at all costs. Yeah, See that scene on YouTube, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Another terrible body double scene, by the way. It was like a tradition there. They're like, shower, and then we'll cover the face up with something obvious. And then...
Well, just from the last movie, because there were no scenes like that in the first two that I recall.
No, there were not.
So what have we learned?
We hate ourselves is really what it comes down to. We just absolutely hate ourselves. There is no other explanation, Bodo, as to why we did this to ourselves.
I explained why I did it. I don't know why you agreed, but...
I argued against it, but you seemed like you really wanted to be a completist. And do it. So I was like, all right. Maybe you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Nope.
Somewhere along the way.
And that's it for The House Movies, thankfully. Until next time, we'll be reviewing Miami Connection. Now, Miami Connection is another bad movie, but it is hilariously bad. I'm just going to read the description from Tubi. It's on Tubi. A synth rock band uses their mastery of taekwondo to take on a gang of cocaine-dealing motorcycle ninjas.
I'm looking at this on IMDb for House 4.
Uh-huh.
There are four people with writing credits on this movie.
Committee, makes sense.
But none of them bothered to write an actual script.
No. Well, it's a committee.
It was all just excuses to run the visual effects together.
Well, this is the issue with creating by committee. You stick with one writer, it might be decent. you pass it down to others, and it gets doctored and changed and changed, and it's this bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but, until then, yeah.
Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.